Church, tonight we are in part one of our first series, and the title of this series is By God's Grace. By God's Grace. The intent of this series is to teach us and to remind us to live as Christians ought. I want to teach us and remind us to live as Christians ought. The purpose of this series is that we want to make Jesus clear and visible through the transforming power of grace. We want to make Jesus clear and visible through the transforming power of grace. There are six objectives in this series. I want to teach us that God's grace transforms because of a number of things. God's grace transforms because it, number one, saves. God's grace transforms because it saves. God's grace transforms because it, number two, sanctifies. God's grace sanctifies. God's grace transforms because it, number three, strengthens. It strengthens. God's grace transforms because it, number four, sustains. It sustains. God's grace transforms because it, number five, settles. It settles. And God's grace transforms because it, number six, supplies. It supplies. The transforming power of God's grace. It saves. It sanctifies. It strengthens. It sustains. It settles and it supplies. The goal of this series is that we want to make a way for God's people. Now, before we get into the first objective, we must define grace. Grace is a word that has no adequate definition. It has no adequate definition, and all through this series, we are going to build on a basic definition of grace. Why is it so hard to define grace? It is because grace is an outpouring of God's love. And his love is beyond searching. It is an outpouring of God's love on our behalf. And yet his love is beyond searching. Grace is a function of God's power. And his power is beyond measuring. And so because his love is beyond searching and his power is beyond measuring, it is hard to come up with adequate words to explain what grace is. When we talk about grace, the most basic definition of grace is this. Grace is kindness given to someone who does not deserve it. That is the most basic definition of grace. It is kindness given to someone who does not deserve it. That's why we say that grace is unmerited favor. God is kind to us, and we don't deserve it. He's kind to us, and he doesn't have to be. He does not owe us kindness. That's why he shows grace toward us. God is good to us, but we have given him no reason to be good. He is good to us simply because he loves us. That's grace. Grace is kindness that he gives to us and that we don't deserve. Grace is not just an every now and then gift from God. See, for us as a believer, sometimes we look at grace as something God gives us in response to a crisis or in response to a challenge, but it is not an every now and then kind of gift. Grace is perpetual. It is all the time. It is unconditional, and it is the possession of every believer. Grace is perpetual. It is unconditional, and it is the gift that is in possession of every believer. Grace is an unending supply of God's power. It is an unending supply of his blessings, of his love, his ability and protection. Grace is an unending supply of God's power, his blessings, his ability, his love and protection. God's grace enables us to do everything that we need to do. It is through God's grace that we are able to glorify God. It is through his grace that we overcome sin. It is through his grace that we can be holy. And it is through his grace that we have victory. Church, grace is the source of Christian living. Grace is the source of Christian living. This is one of the reasons why so many Christians struggle to live a godly life. Because they don't realize that the source of Christian living is grace. It is the fountain from which Christian living flows. It is the very thing that enables us to be salt, to be light, and to be a city. Church, if we do not allow God's grace to transform us, to strengthen us, to keep us, if we don't allow God's grace to help us, we will fail. We must rest in God's grace. We must rely on his grace, and without it, we can't make it. Amen. Church, God's grace never fails. It never fails. See, it does not fail us, but we fail to seek it. We fail to seek God's grace. We fail to receive it and apply it. Sometimes we frustrate the grace of God, and oftentimes we waste it. But when we receive it and apply it to our lives, it never fails us. And so in this series, we must learn, and we will learn, how to be strong in the grace of God. But church, before we learn to be strong in God's grace, we must be reminded that it is grace that has saved us. That takes us to our first objective. God's grace transforms because it saves. God's grace transforms because it saves. The subtitle for tonight's message is Saved by Grace. Saved by Grace. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Church, the grace of God transforms us because it saves us. It saves us. Now you might say, I know that, Pastor. But we need to stop and really consider what that means. See, we say that we know we are saved by grace. And we know this intellectually because we hear that statement often. But do we really know it in our heart? Do we know it on the inside? Do we really know that we are saved by grace? Let me ask the question this way. Do we really believe that we played no part in our salvation experience? See, most Christians actually believe that they played a significant part in becoming a Christian. Most of us, we believe that we helped God out, that we decided all on our own that it was time to become agreeable with God. And so many of us look at our lives and we don't really understand that it is only God's grace that saved us. That I was not saved because I decided to change my life. That I was not saved because I decided to get right with God. Even though it seems that way, that is not the truth. And the Word of God makes this very clear. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Our scripture out of Ephesians chapter 2 is going to be verse 8. What was Paul saying to the church at Ephesus? He speaks to the church at Ephesus and reminds them of where they had come from. He starts the chapter off by saying, "You were once dead in sin and trespasses." You were in bondage to sin. In other words, you were so wrapped up by sin that you could not help yourself. You were as a dead man. He tells them you lived according to the dictates and the fashion of the world. In other words, you were under the influence of the spirit of the age. What does that mean? It simply means that whatever sin was in, that's what I did. Church, that's what we did when we were out there in the world. See, there's no use of us as Christians saying, "Well, I don't understand these young people, and I don't understand why they do X, Y, and Z, and I don't understand why." We don't understand because that wasn't the sin that was in. Amen. Now, if their sin had been in when we were sinning, we would have done it too. Amen. It is the spirit of the age. Whatever the spirit of the age says, this is what you want to do. Paul is saying you got caught up in that. And so whatever was in, that's what you did. And Paul says that means all of us once lived according to the passions of the flesh. Whatever our flesh told us to do, that is what we did. And because of that, we were by nature subject to God's wrath. God was angry with us because of the life that we lived. But then he goes on to say, "But God." That word "but" has a significant meaning. It means it cancels out everything that happened in the past. He says, "But God, despite the fact that you were under the influence of the spirit of the age, despite the fact that you were dead in sin and trespasses, but God," God canceled all that out. "He was rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. While we were dead, he made us alive." While we were dead in sins, he lifted us up together with Christ. And he says, "By grace ye are saved." He tells the church, "Because you are saved, you have been raised to sit in heavenly places with Jesus." What does he mean by that? In other words, you now have a place in glory. And you have a hope, knowing that in the ages to come, no matter what happens in this life, in the ages to come, God's going to continue to lavish the riches of his grace on you through kindness and goodness. That brings us to our verse, verse 8. He says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." What Paul was saying is this: you were rescued. And you were rescued from first destruction. You were rescued and you were delivered. You were healed and you were restored. And that happened to you because God showed you a kindness that you did not deserve. By grace, you are saved. God showed you this kindness when you believed in his son. When you put your trust in Jesus Christ, he rescued you. He restored you. He healed you. Now you might say, "Well, Pastor, that means I did play a part in my salvation experience, because after all, I had to have faith. I had to put my trust in God. So doesn't that mean that I did something to take part in this salvation experience?" Not so fast. Read the second part of this verse. He says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." That word "of" means from or out of. From or out of. What is Paul saying? He's saying you were saved because God showed kindness to you. when you believed in his son.